Parshas Toldos. Rivka had been married to Yitzchak for 20 years, but she still did not have any children. So Yitzchak and Rivka visited Har HaMoriah, the very same place where Avram had tied up Yitzchak and prepared him to be the carbon. Both Yitzchak and Rivka davened, and Yitzchak brought a carbon. Yitzchak davened to Hashem and said, "Let the children you will give me be born to this great woman, the Tzadekis." Rivka davened and said, "Let the children you will give me be from this Tzadik." And Yitzchak's tefillah was answered, and Rivka became pregnant. Now Rivka felt something very, very strange. She was very happy that she had a baby in her stomach and that the baby will soon be born. But she had a lot of pain. She felt a lot of kicking and pushing inside. Whenever she passed a shul or a yeshiva, she would feel the baby is pushing to go out, to learn Torah, to daven. But then when she passed by a cloister, a house of Getchkis, again she felt the baby is pushing out. Little did she know that there were two babies. One was Yaakov, the tzaddik, who always wanted to learn Torah, and one was Esav, the rasha, who wanted to go to the Getchkis. Rivka was very puzzled. She could not understand, why is she having so much pain? Rivka asked other women, "Did you ever feel like this when you were pregnant?" And they said, "No." So Rivka decided that she is going to visit the Beis HaMedrash of the two great tzaddikim, Shem and Eved, in order to find out from Hashem what is going to be the end of this, and to ask Shem and Eved that they should daven to Hashem to have pity on her. Shem received a word from Hashem about Rivka, and he told it to her, and he said, "Hashem says that you have in your stomach twins." That's right, Kindalach, two babies. "Hashem has told me to tell you the secrets of the future, but you're not supposed to tell this over to any other person. The secret is that you are going to become the mother of two great nations. Yes, these two children are going to grow up into two big, great nations. You carry both together, yet once they are born, even the entire world will be too small for them to live together in peace. How then can you expect them to live together peacefully in your stomach?" "Yes, Kindalach, they will be two different nations who will live different kinds of lives. One will be proud of Ruchnius, Torah and Mitzvahs, while the other will be proud of Gashmius, riches and all other worldly things. Both nations will have mighty kings. One nation will have Shlomo HaMelech, who will build the Beis HaMikdash, and the other nation, the king Hadrian, who will destroy it. From one nation will come the great tzaddik and nasi, Reb Yehuda HaNasi, and from the other, the emperor Antoninus." Shem continued and told Rivka further what Hashem said. "The two nations that you will have will not become great at the same time. When one will be great, the other will fall. And when the other one will fall, the other will become great. They will continue to wrestle until the time of Mashiach. But in the end, the older will serve the younger. That is, Esav will serve Yaakov. Yes, Kindalach, the same thing is with our Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov wants to do Torah and Mitzvahs, while the Yetzer Hara only cares for Gashmias, for nice clothing, good food, toys, candy, and all other things which are not Torah and Mitzvahs. But I want you to know, Kindalach, it's up to you to decide who's going to be the stronger and the greater one, the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara. If you learn Torah and do more and more mitzvahs, your Yetzer Tov becomes much, much stronger, and the Yetzer Hara becomes much weaker. Yes, Kindalach, it's just like we have twins in ourselves, the two voices of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. But as Hashem said, that the older one is going to serve the younger one, that means that the Yetzer Hara is going to help the Yetzer Tov. That's right. We can get the Yetzer Hara, not only it should not disturb us from Torah and Mitzvahs, but just the opposite. It should help us out in learning more Torah and doing more Mitzvahs. Now, Kindalach, when the time came for Rivka to give birth, she gave birth to twins. The first of the twins was an unusual baby. He did not look like a newborn baby, because he came out hairy, with a beard, and with a mouth full of teeth. They named him Esav. Esav means the ready-made one, since he was born with fully developed hair, just like a grown-up. Esav is like the word asa, made. Esav also is like the word esev, grass. It means the one full of hair as the field is full of grass. Esav's skin had a reddish color. As soon as Esav was born, he tried to stop Yaakov from being born. But Yaakov held on to Esav's heel and came out from his mother right after him. Esav was named by his parents, but Yaakov was named by Hashem himself. And that's what Yaakov means. The word Yaakov has the word Akev. Akev means a heel. Since Yaakov was born and came out by holding on to the heel of his older brother Esav. Now, I want you to know, Kindalach, until they were 13 years old, the difference between Yaakov and Esav was not noticed by anyone. Both of them grew up and taught by their father Yitzchak and their grandfather Avraham. But as they reached the age of 13, then everyone saw that each one chose for themselves a different way of life. Yes, Kindalach, until the age of 13, both Yaakov and Esav entered the Beis HaMedrash together and left together. But then their paths separated. Yaakov continued learning Torah, which he did for the rest of his life. There was no one who learned Torah as much as Yaakov. He did not budge from the Beis HaMedrash. After learning in the Beis HaMedrash of Avraham, he went to the Beis HaMedrash of Shem, then to Aver's, and then he returned to Shem again. But Esav, Kindalach, he became a hunter who roamed the fields. He not only trapped animals, but also used to trick and fool people with his tricky tongue. Esav was a very, very smart man.
A very tricky man. He used to trick everyone into anything he wanted. He was so clever that even the judge used to use him sometimes. For example, the judge would ask a person who would come in who killed someone. The judge would say, "Why did you kill someone?" And the man would answer, "I'm innocent. I killed no one." Then the judge would call Esav and tell Esav to speak to this man, trying to get the truth out of the man. Esav would say to him, "How did you kill the person? With a sword, a spear, or a knife?" Taken by surprise, the man would admit the truth. If it was a thief, Esav would say to him, "I'm not asking you about yourself. I'm just asking you, what is the name of the other man who helped you?" Here again, Esav got the thief to tell the judge who was the other man. And by this, the judge found out that he himself was a thief. As long as Avraham was alive, until Esav was 15, Esav used to dress himself up like a nice person. Yes, he used to trick his Zayda Avraham in thinking that he was a tzaddik. In fact, he used to trick the whole world that they should believe that he was a tzaddik. Even to his own father Yitzchak, he used to work very hard to show his father that he is a tzaddik. For example, his father Yitzchak would ask him, "What did you do today, Esav?" "I was learning in yeshiva." "What did you learn?" "Well, Kindalach, Esav didn't really learn in yeshiva. He was just trying to trick his father." But Esav remembered something he had heard when he passed by the Beis HaMedrash, and he mentioned it to his father. And this is how he used to trick his father, that his father should think that he's really sitting and learning Torah. One of Esav's tricks were, he used to ask his father such questions about the mitzvahs to make his father think that he's very careful in his doing the mitzvahs. For example, he would come to his father and say, "Tati, I have a problem." "What is it?" his father would say. "Well, it's about the mitzvah of Maaser, taking off a tenth for tzedakah." "Well, what's your problem?" "Well, how do you separate Maaser from salt or straw?" "Well, Kindalach, this is not such a simple question, since the Torah does not say that you have to take Maaser from salt and straw." But Esav was trying to show his father that he's doing even more than the mitzvah. Yes, Esav would speak with his lips the opposite of what he thought in his heart. In fact, the name Esav also means like the word Hai Shav. Oh, he is so false. Yes, Esav used to trick his father, and his father believed him many times, especially because Esav used to give his father from the meat of the animals that he hunted. But still, Kindalach, Yitzchak did realize that Esav was not acting the way he really should. But still, Yitzchak showed love towards Esav. While Yitzchak was afraid of being very strict with him, thinking, "If Esav is acting the way he should, even though I'm showing him so much love, how much worse will he be if I do not show him any love at all? If I'm going to show him hatred, he'll turn even worse." Yitzchak hoped that with his love, he will be able to convince Esav to go in Hashem's ways. Our Chachamim tell us that there was another reason why Yitzchak loved Esav, because Yitzchak saw with Ruach HaKodesh that the great Navi, Ovadia, who was a ger, will come from Esav's family. But Kindalach, Rivka, she loved only Yaakov. She knew very well from the words that Shem told her in the name of Hashem before the babies were born, that only the younger one, Yaakov, will be the tzaddik. And now, Kindalach, the Torah is going to tell us about something that happened on the day that Avraham Avinu passed away. As you remember from the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah, that Avraham passed away, and that everyone came to the burial of Avraham Avinu. Yes, everyone knew the sad news that Avraham had passed away. Yitzchak sat down to mourn and cry for his father, and Yaakov went himself to the kitchen to prepare lentils, those are beans, for his father Yitzchak, since this is the kind of beans that is served to mourners, that is, to someone who lost someone in his family. But Kindalach, there was only one person in the house who did not care about what happened to Avraham Avinu. That was Esav. He did not even pay attention to what happened. He just disappeared into the field as usual. On this day, Esav kidnapped a Kala who was supposed to get married to someone else. He also killed Nimrod, the son of the king Nimrod, who was killed by Avraham. This happened in the following manner. As Esav was hunting in the field, he noticed Nimrod's soldiers at a distance surrounding King Nimrod. Nimrod wore the precious garments which Hashem had made for Adam that had the designs of animals. Whenever the animals would see these designs, they would be attracted, and that's how Nimrod was able to kill them. Esav, when he saw Nimrod wearing these special garments, he immediately wanted to have these clothes. He waited until Nimrod's soldiers left the king. Nimrod was guarded by only two men. Esav came closer and closer, very quietly, and attacked Nimrod from the back, cutting off Nimrod's head. The two men who were with Nimrod threw themselves at Esav, but Esav killed them also. Esav now robbed Nimrod of his precious garments and now returned home, exhausted and tired from the killing. Esav was worried that the family of Nimrod might come and kill him because of what he did. When Esav came into the house, Esav found Yaakov cooking in the kitchen. Esav said, "Ha, why do you have to go through all this trouble preparing this dish? It takes you so much time. There are so many other more delicious foods that you can eat right away without even having to prepare it. You can eat fish, insects, bugs, chazer, and so on. Didn't you hear that Zaidi, Avraham, died and our father Yitzchak is mourning, he's crying? I'm therefore cooking these beans, which is the food for mourners, to give to Tati."
What? The old man Avraham was cut off from this exciting world already? He didn't live hundreds of years? He's gone forever. He'll never get up again. He died, just like the first man Adam died and will never come back. And the same thing with the great righteous man, the Tzaddik Noach, who rebuilt the whole world. He also died and never will come back.
Kindalach, Esav denied Olam Haba, did not believe in the world to come, and did not believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, that when Mashiach comes, all those who have passed away will come back to life. The wicked Esav believed that the main purpose of man is to live a long and good life in this world, and not to do anything to prepare for Olam Haba, for the next world. Esav looked at the lentils noticing that Yaakov also had a bottle of wine.
I am starved! Just give me some of that red wine you have there, and pour this red food down my throat.
Esav was so tired and weak that he wasn't even able to lift up the dish and serve himself. Esav opened up his mouth as wide as a camel. Yaakov was shocked. How can this Russia, who denied Olam Haba, be the Bechar of this family, of this house? If he is a Bechar, then he is the Kohen. Because then, Kindalach, the Becharim were supposed to be the Kohanim. Will Esav be the Kohen to bring Karbanis for this house? Yaakov thought, I will buy the Bechar from him. I will buy the right to be the Kohen in order that I should be the one to bring the Karbanis instead of him. Yaakov explained to Esav, I prepared this dish of lentils for my father, and I don't want to lose the mitzvah of Kibbudav by giving it to you. If you will wait a little while, I'll prepare you another dish of red beans. But if you want to eat it immediately, I'll give you what I prepared for our father, but there is only one condition, that you sell me your birthright. You sell me the right of being the Bechar. I'm allowed to give away this dish, which was prepared for a mitzvah, for the sake of getting a different mitzvah, buying the birthright of being Bechar. Esav laughed.
What do I need to be a Bechar anyway for? After working very hard and serving Hashem, I will die just like all other people died, even just like the people who didn't bring any karbanis. Therefore, why should I trouble myself in serving Hashem?
When Esav cried out,
Why do I need the birthright
to be the Bechar? The heavenly voice answered, Why do you need the brachis from Yitzchak? Now Yaakov knew his wicked brother very well. He knew that Esav changes his mood very often and can suddenly change his mind about this sale of the Bechara. Therefore Yaakov said to Esav, Let us make this sale as crystal clear as the day. Swear to me by Yitzchak's life that the birthright of being Bechar will be mine forever. Esav swore. Yaakov bought the birthright by paying Esav with gold. As soon as the deal was complete, Yaakov fed Esav a meal of lentils and bread. From where do we know that Hashem also agreed upon the sale? Well, this Kindalach we see in Chumash Shemois, Hashem calls the Yidden B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. Yisrael is my son, my firstborn, my Bechar. Also, the Malachim, Michael and Gavriel, noted down that the birthright belonged to Yaakov. That is, that from now on, Yaakov is the Bechar. Esav invited a bunch of gangsters from the street and told them, Let us have a good party together, all from Yaakov's food. They ate and drank and laughed at Yaakov, to whom Esav had sold a birthright which, in their eyes, wasn't worth it anything. Yes, Kindalach, at the time of the sale, Esav laughed at Yaakov. Why Yaakov is giving away such good food and so much money just in order to be the Bechar to do the mitzvah of bringing karbanis. Esav was so happy that he fooled this tzaddik to spend his money on a mitzvah. But Kindalach, what was the end of the story? Esav cried out bitterly, finding out that what he got now was only some food and some money, and for this he gave away something which he would lose forever, the great schus
of being a Bechar. Instead, it was given now over to Yaakov forever. The same thing, Kindelach, we find that the Rasha is ready to trade Taira and Mitzvahs, which are forever, just in order to have some enjoyment on this world, even though the pleasures are only for a short time, and Taira and Mitzvahs last forever. But the Tzaddik, Kindelach, he knows that the most important thing and the reason why Hashem created him is in order to learn more Torah and do more mitzvahs. And for this, Hashem will bench us with all good, both in this world and in the world to come. And now, Kindelach, we come to the part of the Parsha where it tells us how Hashem sent a hunger to the whole land of Eretz Yisrael. It was such a severe hunger, which was even worse than the hunger that was in the times of Avraham. As you remember, that when Avraham came to Eretz Canaan, there was a hunger, and Avraham had to go then to Mitzrayim to get food. But this hunger now, in the time of Yitzchak, was even worse. Yitzchak then moved to the city of Grar, which is in the part of Eretz Yisrael which was called Plishtim. Yitzchak planned to travel further to Mitzrayim and stay there for a while until the hunger is over, just like his father Avraham had done. But then Hashem's word came to Yitzchak. Hashem said, "Stay in this land. Do not leave Eretz Yisrael, as your father Abraham did in the time of hunger. Your father was allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because your father was born outside of Eretz Yisrael. But you are born in Eretz Yisrael. You are not allowed to leave this land. Also, you are lying tied up on the Mizbeach, ready to be shechted as a carbon. And since then, you have become holy, just like a carbon. Therefore, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael." Hashem wanted Yitzchak to stay over in the city of Grar, among the Plishtim people, in order to show the world how Hashem protected Yitzchak, just the same way as Hashem had been with Avraham. And even though there was a hunger in the land, also in the city of Grar, Hashem would bench Yitzchak with plenty of food, even during the hunger, to show to the world that those who serve Hashem are showered with goodness. Yitzchak then remained in Grar by Plishtim, and was soon questioned about his wife Rivka. They wanted to know, "Is she your sister or your wife?" Well, Kindelach, following in Avram's footsteps, Yitzchak called himself Rivka's brother, since he was afraid that if it were known that he was her husband, the Plishtim would try to kill him in order to take Rivka. The king of the country, Abimelech, wanted Rivka. Therefore, he kept on watching Yitzchak and Rivka to find out if they were truly brother and sister, or if they were married. For he remembered well what had happened when he had taken Avraham's wife Sarah to the palace. After staying in Grar for a long time, Yitzchak was not as careful as he had been at the beginning, and Abimelech found out that they were really husband and wife. He called Yitzchak to the palace and complained to him, "Why did you say that she is your sister when really she's your wife? You know, a very special person from this nation," Abimelech was meaning himself, "might have taken your wife, and you would have brought upon us a big sin. Yitzchak answered, I was afraid that I would be killed if they found out that it was my wife. Avimelech announced, anyone who touches this man or his wife with the intention of harming them will be put to death. So Yitzchak stayed on, and during that year, Yitzchak planted in the land of Plishtim, and even though it was a year of a drought, that means there was no rain, and the ground was very poor for planting, but Yitzchak had a special blessing, a special bracha from Hashem, and the earth gave out 100 times more than expected. Not only did his own seeds that he planted give out delicious vegetables, but the whole country was benched in his schus. That's right, Kindalach. Being near a tzaddik brings a blessing for everyone. Kindalach, why did Yitzchak measure how much of his fruits and vegetables grew? Well, he wanted to measure the exact amount in order to separate ma'aser, one-tenth of everything that grew, and giving it away to the poor, just like it says in the Torah. Yes, our avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, would keep the mitzvahs of the Torah even before Hashem gave the Torah to all the Yidden, and they all separated ma'aser from their fruits. Yitzchak became so rich in the land of Grar that people began to say that even the dirt of the donkeys of Yitzchak is worth more than the gold and silver of Avimelech. It didn't take long, Kindalach, and the Plishtim became very jealous of Yitzchak. And because they were so jealous, they started to make trouble for Yitzchak. They stopped up the wells which Avraham's servants had dug. Avimelech said to Yitzchak,
leave us, because you have become mightier than we are.
In order to stay away from fights, Yitzchak traveled far away from the city of Grar and moved in the valley of Grar. We had dug up once again the wells which his father Avraham had dug. Yes, Kindalach, this is also a lesson for us, how important it is to stay away from fights. If you see that there is any place where there is a possible fight, go far away, as far as you can. Yitzchak's servants then found there a new well and dug it out. But in that valley too, the shepherds of the place started to argue, saying that the well does not belong to Yitzchak, but it belongs to them. When Yitzchak's servants dug a second well, the shepherds again complained and said that it belongs to them. Yitzchak moved on further. Yes, to stay away from fights. He moved further away and dug a third well. And there was no argument over this well, and Yitzchak called it Rechayveis, meaning Hashem has made room for us. Yitzchak then traveled on to Be'er Sheva. Hashem appeared to Yitzchak there, assuring him that he does not have to be afraid of Avimelech and his servants. Soon, Avimelech and his general Fichel and a group of his friends went to look for Yitzchak to ask him to enter into a peace treaty, to make peace with them. They noticed that as soon as Yitzchak had left Grar, all the wells dried up, and the trees gave no longer any fruit. They realized that this happened because they had sent Yitzchak away. Also, on the night of Yitzchak's leaving, robbers had broken into Avimelech's palace and took everything away. Avimelech then understood that this was a punishment for having caused Yitzchak to leave Grar. When Yitzchak saw Avimelech and his friends, he said to them,
Why do you come to me now? You hate me and chased me away from you.
We see that Hashem is with you, just as he was with your father,
Abimelech answered.
We therefore want to renew the promise that your father Abraham made with us, that there will always be peace. Promise that you will not do any bad things to us. Also swear that when your grandchildren will take over this land, they will not take over the land of Plishtim. In this way, you will repay us for the fact that we did not harm you while you stayed in our land. We treated you well, and we sent you away in peace.
You see what kind of Rishayim they are, Kindalach? Avimelech is telling Yitzchak that he should consider himself lucky for having left the Plishtim without being harmed. That's right. The good that they had done to Yitzchak was that they permitted him to leave their country alive. Yitzchak agreed to renew the promise that Avram had made with Avimelech. And then they left in peace.